So, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the municipal building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. It is March 6, 2019. Will you please all rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our servicemen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So, first item is the presentation of minutes from the regular meeting of February 6, 2019. If everyone has had a chance to review, if there are any...
I'll make a motion to approve the February 6, 2019 minutes of the regular meeting.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. For the minutes of the executive session of 2016, I personally have a couple of comments which we would then need to take in executive session after this meeting, and the minutes of the second set of minutes from the executive session of February 16th are tabled. It's not being ready, so we'll move past those. So, now we would open the meeting to public comments, limited to agenda items only, reminding everyone the meeting is recorded and posted on the website promptly after the meeting. Is there a motion to open a public comment?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Seeing no member of the public...
Make a motion to close.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. First resolution. Resolution 29, 2019, engagement of a municipal court judge. I believe we appointed the judge, but it was determined we need to formalize it with resolution. So this ratifies the appointment of Edward Martin as the municipal court judge for Lebanon Township. Is there a motion for resolution? I'm sorry, it's now resolution 30, isn't it? No, well, it's printed 30,
right?
But it is 29.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Maybe I'll be off now.
You want me to make a motion?
Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 29-2019, resolution authorizing the engagement of a municipal court judge.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So this is now resolution 30, the transfer, financial transfers.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is from our chief financial officer, transferring funds out of a couple of accounts and into various other accounts. The total amount of the transfers, $3,832.22, related to the fiscal year 2018. Any discussion or is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve resolution 30-2019 for transfers.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And the next motion is a motion, resolution 31-2019, return overpayment of taxes, the person's bank. This is for completely and permanently disabled veteran who's exempt from local taxes. Their bank had made the tax payment, and the bank had authorized us to directly refund the overpayment to the individual. The individual is Lori and Holly McCallum Young on Mount Grove Road. Is there a motion for resolution 31-2019?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 31-2019, return of overpayment of taxes.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So the next item of old business, I turn it over to the Volunteer Appreciation Event Subcommittee.
Okay, so to the volunteer dinner this year at the park, the dates that are available are May 4th, 11th, 18th, and 25th, 25th being the Memorial Day weekend. There is nothing in June, or we move to September, which would be 7th, 14th, and 21st, 7th obviously being close to Labor Day. So open discussion as thoughts as to which would be a better weekend or direction to go.
Say those dates again.
They should be on paper.
Oh, are they on here? Oh, here we are. Okay.
Memorial Day weekend's no good for me. I got D.C. duty.
18th is a full moon.
That leaves the 4th.
Well, I wanted to name a dinner under the stars.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, hey, yeah, I mean, that's actually pretty nice.
Mark's got it all worked out.
Yeah.
Right, Mark?
As good as any reason.
Oh. <Uh-oh.
laughs> I'm just trying to think. Any considerations for the majority of volunteers that might have school-age children, family considerations? That, you know, May is school is still in session, graduation's coming up. September,
June.
They're heading back to school. So
June would be graduations.
But I mean, okay, so... I'm neutral to both. What do you make a proposal then?
I really don't. Doesn't matter. You know, like it's either. You know, I wouldn't want to go. I mean, even though we had the 4th and 11th, I really wouldn't want to do those because I think you're potentially cooler, and I don't want it to be too cold out.
Mm.
So, the 18th is probably a better scenario.
I remember the last time we had this discussion when I was running it, the one in the park. They had. People were complaining about it was going to be too hot if we waited too long. And then they were complaining about the farmers not being able to come because of the hay. So, you know, the 18th seems... Because September can be a big hay month, too.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I mean, the 18th is fine with me.
And there's your theme.
And then, like I said, my expectation... My thought on this... Then, so if we have the 18th, my expectation also was to, like, go... like locally, the Max's, and get them to bring, you know, food, and they could, I've talked to them already, and they'll have all the equipment, they can come, and they can, you know, outside of what the Q crew, and I think envisions people of picnic, even though that was my son's wedding, I think the food was good, and there wasn't, but I think, you know, if it's local, you know, local people, you know, also look at for somebody for desserts, doing a different company for desserts, and I think try to keep all the vendors that would be providing local to Lebanon Township would be my expectation to try. So if the 18th is good, I'll keep proceeding. And Brian and I'll have Brian in charge of pulling out the moon.
There we go.
You mean to park at the moon?
Do you have to tell Kim so that she reserves?
Well, before
somebody calls in tomorrow.
Well, I think she would.
Do we need a motion to memorialize that, or is
I would say so.
Would anyone like to make a motion to schedule our volunteer event on May 18th, 2019?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
who made
the motion? Motion?
I did.
Okay. Any other old business that anyone would like to bring up? And on to new business. First item on new business, and I'm glad to see we have our police chief in the room, is the purchase of a new vehicle, and this is to affirm the purchase that has occurred. A little bit of background, since this is a new procedure for how the township operated here, and that'll lead into then the next agenda item. I would say it was mid-February that we had an accident with one of the police cars.
Yes.
So mid-February, police car. It was the storm with the terrible ice storm, police responding to a medical emergency call and slid off the road into a tree. The body company and insurance company deemed the car totaled. We put purchase as we would normally do it. We put purchase of a new SUV on our March 6th agenda. The committee was notified of the incident within 12 hours of it occurring, or the same day that it occurred. I should note the officer was only very minor injury. He did go to the hospital to be checked out, but was able to return. So that was the good news out of that. For other background, this was our second vehicle that was totaled in the last 3 or 4 months. The other one hit a deer again. That's what our police do. They're out there when the danger is worst. So the situation is we're then the second police car took us down two cars. This is the primary tool that our police use in a 32-square-mile township. So the police chief located a car on a lot, available car at Winter Ford, put it on the agenda for March 6th, then the normal procedure would have been that the committee would then approve the purchase of a car. Because of a snowstorm, we had to cancel the March 6th meeting. The police chief and his team approached myself and the CFO the next morning. I happened to be here Thursday morning during the CFO's hours and asked any way that we could expedite a purchase of this car. It's the only one they could find in the region on the lot ready to go.
This is March 6th. That was February, just to clarify.
Sorry,
we had canceled the February
20th.
Yeah, not the February.
Oh, I'm sorry.
March 6th.
The February, I'm sorry. Today
just
is,
just confuse people listening to this.
The February 20th meeting was when we had it on the agenda. Thank you for that clarification. February 20th on the agenda, February 20th meeting canceled. So February 21st is when the police chief approached the CFO and myself to ask any way to expedite this, because he was also hearing from the dealer network that there was some sort of model year changeover going on, and lead times, if we had to order a car, would be 20 weeks, I believe you were, at least 20 weeks. And again, we're down two cars, primary tool of our police force. Consulted our various experts, the CFO, the clerk, our attorney. Turns out, if you recall, last year the township engaged and appointed a qualified purchasing agent as part of the statutory authority of a qualified purchasing agent, subject to verification of funds by the CFO. The qualified purchasing agent can purchase on behalf of the township. This is underneath the bid threshold that the qualified purchasing agent has for the town, but also happens to be on a state contract, which means it could have actually been above the bid threshold. So, and this is where it's a little bit unusual, and to be clear, in discussions with these experts, it would have been a violation of the statutes to consult the committee, to say, committee, anyone have any issues if we purchase the car, because the sunshine laws require that to be a published open meeting. It wasn't deemed an emergency where we could convene an emergency meeting that day to purchase the car. So the decision was made amongst all of us to direct and ask the QPA to authorize purchase. He authorized purchase on Friday. That would be February 22nd. Purchase order went out. So we have now purchased from Winter Ford a 2019 Police Interceptor Utility all-wheel drive, modified for police requirements, total purchase amount $39,924. One other little twist. Historically, we've always leased these cars. It turns out embedded in the lease, because these cars are, as some would say, they get beaten up pretty badly in police work, it's a 6.5% interest charge built into the lease. In talking with the CFO, we have the flexibility in our budget to purchase the car. And then there's various issues around that, but not car, SUV. So we have purchased outright the vehicle, and in our budget discussions, we will amend prior capital ordinances, but the funds are available to pay for the car that we now own. So any discussion on this topic, or the next agenda item is to discuss the qualified purchasing agent's purchasing procedures. So I would ask we defer those discussions a moment. Anything, questions for the chief, discussion of the car, or we would look for a motion to affirm the purchase, that the committee supports that the car was purchased.
Chief, when did you know that the sale was like a fire sale? We had to purchase that vehicle immediately.
When we first started calling around, looking under state contract and within our co-op, there were the only vehicle that was still on the lot and available for immediate sale was this one, this SUV.
So we knew that going in that this had to be purchased at a certain time.
Excuse me?
We knew going in that this vehicle had to be purchased by a certain time, date.
We knew going into into February 20th. The meeting, this is on
canceled.
The agenda for the February 20th meeting. We
this
knew
was
a few
the
days
fastest $40,000 we ever spent. It took me for a loop, so I had some concerns with it. Everything was done above board. I've learned. I got educated on a QPA. I was not involved in any decision. I had an email sent to me at 4:08 p.m. Friday. Town closes at 4:24. So I had some concerns.
Sure.
I've heard an explanation from Mike. I agree with that. I trust everyone who has made that decision explicitly. So I'm good, and I think that we can discuss this later. There needs to be some kind of procedures or policies with a qualified purchase agency so that a committee person isn't, like, floored. But anyways, I didn't know going in that we had a dead date that we had to purchase by. That is new to me.
Well, the only urgency was on the availability. We needed a vehicle, and when we...
I know that. Not arguing that.
Nobody in the co-ops had one, and the only one under state contract was Winter, so we have one sitting here. An agency that had ordered it did not want it. So it was sitting on a lot, and he said, first
it worked
first
for
first
us.
Service.
I get it.
All right, there's one out there, and that was the urgency on that availability.
Not arguing that.
How we got there.
In fact, I've calmed down since that day. So, but at first, I was like, "How'd that happen?" You know, because we never had a qualified purchase agency purchase anything of that much value.
I never even knew we had.
And I didn't know that on a state contract. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's an unlimited amount that fellow could purchase. I certainly would like procedures put in place that the committee's aware of this.
Assuming the funds are available, you're
assuming
you're correct.
The funds are available. That's all I have to say.
Any other discussion or motion to affirm the purchase?
I'll make a motion to affirm the purchase.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. So now, let's discuss our township procedures for when and how a qualified purchasing agent can make a purchase. I've discussed this a little bit with the attorney, and I think there are two routes we can take. One is we could establish our own ordinance to modify the state statutes. The other is that we could, by resolution, make a policy of how what has to happen before it gets to the qualified purchasing agent. A challenge I see of an ordinance that modifies the authority of the QPA is we have a shared service for a QPA. This QPA works in other towns. He would then have to look and say he knows the state statute. Oh, but for Lebanon Township, what do I do differently? And I think there's a risk of making it more difficult for the QPA. And secondly, I think the changes we would make might be arbitrary and limit when we actually need this emergency. Not truly, emergency is the wrong technical term, but when we would like to make use of the authority of the QPA. For example, as Tom mentioned, you know, he could have unlimited. Well, if we said, let's cap it, he couldn't purchase anything more than $40,000. Well, then next year the police car is $43,000, and we say, well, now we just need a different ordinance. So I think the ordinance is going to be too restrictive. My proposal would be, keeping in mind and having just gone through this a week or two ago, the challenges where you can't inform the whole committee without having a public meeting. And I'm thinking maybe the best we can do, what I would propose is we have a resolution that says before the QPA is asked to make that purchase, we have a memorandum signed by the mayor or deputy mayor in his absence, the liaison to that function, or we figure out a way that two committee people have input in a signed memo to say the two.
It's a varying committee person, so like
right.
I'm the liaison police, so I would be involved. If it was for Warren needed
exactly.
a truck,
whoever,
Bev would be involved.
Whoever
and, the mayor being the center point, being always.
And if the involved. Mayor happens to be liaison to police, then it would be the deputy mayor and the liaison. That's we just have to make it so two committee people are aware of a situation.
I don't think
of
we have to reinvent the wheel, but I just think there needs to be a little
yeah.
check and balance like that
yeah.
amongst this committee to, if this event happens again, that the mayor and the liaison for the purchasing department are notified, a memorandum of something get recorded.
Yeah.
So you're
proposing, in essence, the establishment of a purchasing manual or a purchasing policy manual that would bind the QPA, whatever procedure you're proposing.
Well, I don't know that I would bind the QPA, but I would bind the committee before the request got to the QPA. So if you have
to bind the QPA.
Okay.
You know, I don't think that's...
What's that do for the shared service, then?
I'll have to hold the two of them together, but again, I don't think that it will undermine the overall...
Okay.
What we want to do is, and the mayor spoke to it, is we don't want to be so onerous that we lose the benefit for which we've already bargained for, and tire hands, right. so that we're frozen in this situation.
So when,
as unusual as the situation with the canceled meeting and the expediency required and all that,
may never happen.
But but then again, it could happen again and almost identically. So right.
Wouldn't this burden be on the supervisor? Wouldn't that burden be put to like Jack or Karen or Warren to get the two committee members on board before it even got to the point of the QPA?
Yeah, what triggers the... Well,
I mean, instead of the QPA being restrictive, or the CFO
CFO has to certify funds if the CFO had the memo, because I don't think Jack should be tracking...
No, but I mean, it's still... I don't think it needs to be the QPA.
That's
I think before it even gets to the QPA, the committee members would be involved.
Before the CFO, since he's a more local resource, could the CFO be required to have that memo before certifying funds? Because the QPA needs the certification of funds.
Correct.
By statute.
Right. So it's
already
not
in place.
So the statute speaks to curtailing the authority of the QPA, not the CFO.
Okay.
So we can the statute already requires the QPA to have the certification of availability of funds in hand prior to the issuance, the signature. So we have that statutory backup. If you want to adopt a policy that the CFO is bound to that procedure, that's more of a general policy, then it doesn't fit within. It's certainly within our power to do. It's within your power to enact that. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't fit neatly into the circumscribing the QPA's authority. So the answer is yes, you can do it that way. I had envisioned doing it the other way, but you can do it the way you proposed.
And just to know where we're going, obviously we don't have a resolution before us. I think the discussion here is to guide preparation of a resolution for next meeting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
What would be the thoughts of that policy before the CFO? What I'm sensing right now, we could either tell the QPA, we send a memo to our QPA that says before you're asked to purchase something, you need this memo. And that's just then his procedure for our township, even if it's different for others, but it doesn't sound like that would be too onerous. Or we tell the CFO, before you certify funds to the QPA, you need a memo, you know, as described with two committee people, in order to certify the funds to the QPA.
Yeah, because otherwise the certification of funds is just a mechanical function.
Right.
It's just, is it there? It's not the CFO's job to determine whether it's a good idea or not, whether it's needed, a needed item.
I'm inclined to think, given our people and our structure, that the CFO is here with more office hours and knows the township better, that's the place we could...
I think that's a good way to go. It's in-house.
That's right.
It's handled with the memorandum between the mayor and the liaison and the CFO. We keep it right here. But there is a little discussion that can go on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that would be a good way to do it.
Is there a proposed check sheet or document at this point, or does that need to be?
I think that needs to be worked out before the next meeting, unless anyone has a...
We're talking about a one-page document, describing the item, the cost, the reason that it,
And now going to the point that came up, would we want the department supervisor to sign that as well? Like in this case...
On the department supervisor.
Well, the police chief is coming to the committee people who are doing this to say, I need...
Now they
okay.
sign.
So, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, it wouldn't be any difference in the purchase request form we get now from them.
Okay, so we could the checklist could then be the purchase request form from the...
Yes.
From the supervisor, and that's already in place, no extra work there.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? Otherwise, that's an action item for the next meeting. I'll just vote to take on that. Okay, no other discussion. Then the next is an update from our park committee. In the capacity of the park committee or the capacity of Friends of Memorial Park Board, tell us which capacity on the plans for a memorial stage in Memorial Park in honor of Pat Shriver, former committee woman. I turn it over to the head of our
address again, or
sure.
Okay, Eric Patrick, 7 Boulderfield Road. I think the last time I was here was in October, November, and there was discussion about how to proceed from that point. And since then, we have secured an architect. It's going to be Ezio Colombra, because he actually worked with Pat when they did the concession stand. He was the guy that drew up the plans for that. So when I called him, he was really, you know, generous. He's going to jump on board with us. I just wanted to give an update so that, you know, in a spirit of keeping a good working relationship, what if we get the plans? Because last time we had to get permission to proceed with the plans, and that's and then after that we were told to stop, and then we would come back to it. So when we do get plans, I don't know exactly when that's going to be, because that's a process in itself. What would be like the next step in securing volunteers, funds? Because I just wanted to kind of put it in your ear that's kind of where we're going. So as we get closer to the plans, that's going to be the next step, because we really can't look at grants. It's hard to get people's you know on board when you don't have a plan out here. And we did meet in November up top, and we were thinking about I'm just telling you what we've done since then. We were thinking about putting it up where the volleyball courts are, and then seeing if we could move the volleyball courts down in front of the concession stand out in the field, not on top of the septic, but kind of out further, and kind of maybe, you know, brighten that up too. And with that, I think the stage, at first we were going to have it kind of small, but it's going to be a little bigger project. Because he said if we didn't do a bigger one next to that pavilion, it would look like a shed.
Yeah.
So we sent him. We're looking for a stage that's about 300 square feet, just the stage, and then the building might be a little bigger. We were thinking about different plans. One plan would call for bringing in soil and building up where the stage would sit, because he said with a stage like that, if it's 31 inches code, you have to put a railing on it. But if you built it up, then you could raise the stage and not have to put a rail there. All right. So these are just things that, in going forward, we were also realizing it's going to cost a lot of money, and we have money to start. The Ambielli's were generous and giving us some stuff to start that. And so I guess I just wanted to update that we're in the process of getting the plans drawn up, and then what should we expect to do when we get those plans? Or is there stuff that you need to be thinking about, or that we need to be thinking about? Because also last time when we talked about fundraising, there was talk about a grant. But if it was coming from the county, then the township would be involved, and just stuff like that. So I just wanted to but then there's other grants that I'm sure friends could apply for that's not county. But I know that there was some.
You hit a key point on that. So I think mm-hmm. going forward, we have to be very formal mm-hmm. in terms of what is the park committee and what is the Friends of Memorial Park.
Okay.
And our attorney is going to be very clear with us as to which rules apply when which is doing it. And having just had experience now with a separate charitable organization, mm-hmm. the Squares Point doing construction on the museum.
Right, yeah.
This is we have a little bit of a pattern, although it's a little bit different as well. My reaction would be when, in collaboration, the Friends of Memorial Park and the Park Committee are ready to come with a proposal that says, here's the footprint, here's the size, and here's where we want to move the volleyball. I think that should have committee approval at sort of a checkpoint.
Okay.
And then that turns the parties as well together to say, mm-hmm. the Friends of Memorial Park can do this part. And I think at a subcommittee level, you should discuss if there's a distinct part of the project that the township could do and a distinct part that the Friends could do. We can figure out how to collaboratively do it, but that really requires some expert work. For example,
I don't believe
you could do, well, I don't even want to speculate, but the point is it has to be discrete parts of a project that we could partner with to do.
That's great news. Yeah.
And then financially, knowing what those parts are for your end of it, how granting money, because you need to put a number on the line.
Right, no. Yeah, no.
So, you know, the plans being the first step, then getting the approval by the committee, yeah, we're in favor of it, depending on where the breaking those apart and finding out the financial values of those to determine where that money comes from to do it and how we can go after it then, if it's internal, external, or what have you.
Certain contracts would be written with Friends of Memorial Park.
Okay.
You have a clear model from how we worked with Squares Point for how the township is insured and named as an insured, and so that we know exactly how to do.
Okay.
I think the one topic that came up, and maybe we weren't quite as formal as we wanted to be in the museum project, was I think we need to know before we start breaking ground and get halfway into a project that there's reasonable funds in place to get it through.
Oh, no doubt.
We always know that you know, something can happen and, you know, a tornado comes through in the middle of the project and, you know, we've got to be reasonable in evaluating the risk of it. But that would be, I think, the trigger toward the end. But I think exactly what you're doing here, I absolutely think is the right thing. Come as often as you need to keep us
mutually working together and
keeping on the same track.
Yeah, things kind of stalled for a little while, but then it picked up. So,
I don't know if we want even a vote of support tonight. Last time you were here was some months ago. There was a vote by the committee to support the concept.
Mm-hmm. Right, going forward.
Now,
with the plan.
I think tonight it still sounds like it's still similar concept, I don't see any need for another vote on the concept because we approved the concept.
Yeah.
But I think when you've got a layout for where the stage would be, what has to be moved, what the new layout of the park would be, I think the committee should approve that so that the rug isn't pulled out as you develop plans for that.
Yeah, that sounds great. And then we'll just keep that going.
Think big. Think Pat would like a big stage.
it's going to be pretty big.
I'm figuring we're only going to get one shot at it, so let's try to do it right so it'll be really useful for different events.
You could see it from this road, too, like where it's going to be. It should be pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. It'd be up high, yeah.
Yeah.
Has the design changed much from the original rendering?
Actually, that was kind of like a that was a picture I got on the internet,
right.
and I just thought it tied in nice with the rustic kind of, you know. But in talking to Ezio, what he was suggesting, and it's a great idea, was doing stone on the stage, doing a stone stage where cleanup, maintenance, it wouldn't rot. You know, just doing a stone base on it, and if you build that into a into like an embankment, if we bring in stuff, it would be easier for handicap accessibility. It would raise the stage, and and then he was just going over if
is there a structure that would sit on top of that stage?
Yeah. That structure, I mean. We were talking about maybe having an open stage, but then we were like, it might be nice to store equipment in there or have something where you can have a curtain. So when someone's setting up like a band's on, you can have someone's like drum kit and their equipment behind there and just kind of, you know, if people wanted to put on performances.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have its own light, its own power. So all that was kind of discussed, but the stone stage is nice too because then there really is no maintenance on it. You know,
would that be a native stone?
I think he said
blue stone, masonry,
stone flat
on the top,
solid
like the deck of it.
I think that's what he referred to.
I think that was kind of what he was getting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to see the rendering.
What's that?
It'd be nice to see what, you know, when he has.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm dying to see it. You know? But then sometimes you look at those plans and you're like, wow, what else can we do? But
he also said something about make it more linear, like 30 feet long and not so deep. Make it approximately 20 feet deep because it will give you the presence that
right.
we're looking for.
Yeah.
That's what he said. And no translucent roof. Make it a solid mm-hmm. structure roof. He wanted to trick it out, make it look good.
Yeah.
So.
I think he wanted to model it after the other two structures so it kind of fit in. It was also
I think he took that and just kind of, you know, I mean, what he was saying sounded great. You know, so. But that's where we're at.
Any other discussion? Yeah, no, that sounds
yeah,
great.
And then if anything comes up, or you know, we'll keep in touch. Thank you.
And obviously, right,
thank you.
Thank
liaison
you.
And
yeah.
Excellent. Thanks. Okay, next is a request from Boy Scout Troop 92 for use of a municipal storage shed.
You missed historian's request.
Oops. Sorry. Thank you. Historian's request for a new member. The historians have met with and voted amongst themselves to nominate David Overraker, a Lebanon Township resident, as a member of the historians. I think it's a mayoral appointment, so I would appoint him to the historians. It's a one-year term, so for the balance of this year term, and I would look if the committee has any discussion or would like to make a motion to support that appointment.
I'll make a motion to support the appointment of David Overraker to historians committee.
I'll second.
And maybe before we roll call vote, I should mention, since it's he has a historic home on Red Mill Road that he spent several years restoring. It really is a presence on that road, and he has done a lot of research. I heard his presentation introducing himself. He's done research back to a Lebanon Township militia in the Revolutionary War, and I think he'll be a great addition to the historian. So with that, roll call.
I'll join the militia.
It's duly noted. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Did you guys...
Yes.
Yes. Pardon me?
In case the chief needs me.
Yes. Wake up.
Okay, next then is Boy Scout Troop 92, request for use of municipal storage shed. So this is from Darren McDowell, Scoutmaster of Troop 92. I discussed this a little bit with him. Turns out I discussed with Warren as well. This is behind Station 2. There are four sheds there now, and I want to bring up a follow-up discussion on that. But two sheds are used by the Rec Committee. One is used by the police department, and one is used by the municipality for election signs and other things that get stored out there. I believe the Rec Committee fully uses their two sheds. I don't think it would be practical for the police to share a shed with a Boy Scout troop. It would be possible, I believe, for the municipality to put half an area that's not jam-packed in the UEs. But here's what I learned through this. The shed that's actually up near the football field was moved from behind Station 2. So there's a vacant gravel pad there, and I spoke to Darren McDowell to see, and I proposed that I would propose to the committee, if they could either procure through donation or purchase or whatever a comparable shed, similar look and feel, whether the committee would let them put a new shed where there's a vacant pad behind Station 2.
And being a scoutmaster for 11 years and dealing with the shed that I know that's at Valley View, there's always a ton of stuff.
And
so
apparently the
saying we're going to share, I would love... Trust me, I have... Never going to happen.
Okay.
Never going to work.
Okay.
It would be their own shed. If we're going to do it, it would be that thought process. This is your shed. Here's the space. How you organize it inside, because somebody will go there in a hurry, take this over there, and all of a sudden it ends up on the committee side or the township
yep.
side.
No, I agree. It's not ideal.
Yeah, it wouldn't okay. work. I just, you know, it just I just know
My
the scenario.
My question is, if we go down this road, what if someone else requests room in a shed?
Well,
that's another
kind
item.
Of setting precedence there.
We clearly treat the Boy Scouts a little bit differently. They park their trailer here already. They store some things in the trailer. I mean, they're viewed as a community organization. I think I can imagine if the Girl Scouts needed space, we would want to consider that. If, you know, if a group that's not quite so community focused, we could distinguish and say, well, you don't really have the same community involvement. But that's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that has to be taken into consideration. They are literally opening the door for similarly situated organizations, at the very least.
What about liability at all? Matt, any liability? If it's on our property, it's a shed that they're going to put there, it's their shed.
As to somebody being injured or the items being stolen or
anything.
It's less than zero. It's more than zero. It's not non-existent. I can't sit here and tell you there's not a permutation where it somehow exposes us. I mean, we could sit here all night, but codes, damage, maintenance, our guys run it over.
We can have an agreement with them that, it's hit by the lawnmower or something. It's, we don't bear any responsibility.
Yeah, and I think I know they've suggested it, but I think we need to be absolutely certain that there's absolutely nothing flammable,
right,
types
that's
of electronics,
that's,
nothing, something even that's seemingly harmless, but, we lost a salt shed over a television or computer monitor that caught fire years ago. So, to answer your question, there is some. Again, back to our balancing test, is some of the decisions we make.
And I mean, and just like I said, because I have experience, and I can put the reason, it's always a struggle for the group because they don't own property, and Scoutmasters, all the members change. Mm-hmm. So having some place a piece of land that's not going to change hands, that it's easy enough to transfer a key to somebody else and the stuff doesn't move. I mean, for years I kept that trailer on my property because there was nowhere else to keep it, because I had a spot to. But then when I said, okay, I'm done, it's going to have to go soon. So having a place that is a little more community-based is why they looked for something like that. And like I said, there's already one at Valley View that the Cub Scouts utilizes, mm-hmm. and I know where the space is. I don't believe there's any more space to put one next to that. That's why I think they're kind of looking for a location to have their own specific one also. I mean, that's where it comes from, is to have a central base doesn't have to transfer around from community member to community member.
So two layers of the decision. Number one, do we want to open ourselves up to some risk as well as equal treatment to another group that may or may not come? And if we want to do that, is Station 2 the right place to do it? Is Station 1 better? I don't have a view. I know there's a shed behind Station 1. I don't know what's in there either, but,
Station 1. I mean, we have different pieces. We have sheds there.
Right.
We have one at the top of Memorial Park. There's a shed,
which is
too.
For the high school. I think if we're going to do it close to this building, we would use the vacant spot.
Center location. There is a gravel area that's open.
Yeah, that's what I'm told. So is there a motion to take action on this?
Motion to
authorize the... Not to let them share a shed, an existing shed, but I think the motion that I'm hearing would be to let them put a shed subject to an agreement to be approved.
I'll make that
attorney.
Motion. That shed is not a township shed. It's going to be Troop 92 shed.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that would be something that we could do, and then if we can get an agreement written up of what is going to go in and what isn't going to go in.
Limiting
and
what goes in.
And why we're limited to certain...
And
functions that help the community.
Indemnification of insurance.
So how much exposure are we going to have by doing
that's
this?
That's all part of my motion.
I'm directing that to the attorney.
Pardon me?
Has anybody been in the rec sheds or any of the sheds?
I wanted to take that up after this.
Okay, there's not much in those rec sheds.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't see why you couldn't consolidate one of the rec sheds and use the other shed for that.
Is there a way to craft this in a way that because of their involvement in the community, that's
right.
Part of...
I think with that we have to
cover
craft that language.
Okay.
That's what I'm aiming at.
Okay.
That we don't continue to get...
Right, right.
It's a community connection.
Yeah.
Community programming for children of Lebanon Township.
Right.
Matt, would you suggest that we I don't think they're this isn't urgent for tonight. Would you suggest we draft this as a resolution for a following meeting?
That you can review any agreement that you've asked me to propose. So okay. that I think it would be premature to do that now.
Okay, so let's take that as an action, and that'll give us another 2 weeks to double check if the rec. But since we mentioned the rec sheds, this came to my attention some time ago, and you can elaborate if you know. I believe at least one of the rec sheds is deteriorating significantly. The roof is beyond repair. I've asked Warren this past week as this came up. I said, is it worth putting some shingles on it? Or he said it's actually caving in. He thinks for the cost of a shed, it's not worth repairing. We've got a good relationship with the group out on the company out on 31. They've treated us well. Yeah. So what I wanted to I don't Warren threw out $1,000 or something for a shed. I don't have a price.
What size? That sounds cheap.
Yeah. It sounded cheap. That's why I was cautious on that. But I don't know what those would be. 15
like
by 20?
Yeah,
they're that small. Okay.
Yeah.
What size are these sheds?
Yeah, that's what he just said.
I think they're like 8 by 10, maybe 8 by 12.
We'll come back.
They're not big. The ones back there, the ones higher up on the hill are a little bigger.
If there's an openness to consider this, we'll get some prices. We'll come back next meeting with a proposal to replace one or more of the sheds.
They got some nice double wide garages.
You've got an alternative.
The place you're talking about. You ever look at some of the
They're nice.
Prefab garages they have?
Yeah.
Mike, I'm actually over there often if you want me to talk
up next to Ryman's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It's your breakfast plan.
Yeah.
So we'll take that as an action item. To see if we need to, and maybe if you can check with Warren whether one of them is deteriorated too. I don't have the details.
I'll check with him.
Okay. All right. Next. So then, next agenda item is consideration of purchase of an employee identification tag machine. We've got the information letter from Warren Gabriel. What I'd come to learn. We've been discussing ever since late last year with the policy of our employees that we have to make sure we have identification cards. We do have identification cards, but they've gotten quite old, and I think it's probably the time that we would get new identification cards for all the employees. So we're talking 20-some plus. I don't think the police would be in this
because
you have your own. But the fire department needs some that could be made with similar technology. So the point is, if we were in a situation where we needed two or three every 6 months, it's probably better to buy them from a service. If we need 20-some, the financial crossover is such that it makes sense to potentially buy our own printer and equipment. Warren has proposed a printer of total purchase of $1,600 for a machine that would print ID cards. It's got a camera that comes with it, or you can email photos in. It's got various accessories that he's put into that as well so that we can make our own ID cards for the
And this is actually something we've talked about for many years.
Yeah.
And with the new technology nowadays, it sounds like a good thing to go.
Well, the other item of this that we could that I thought about when I saw this, and I said, okay, how because I've looked at these and for my own business and stuff like that, and for once you do your initial, it's kind of like onesie-twosie thing. The other item I feel that we could do here to expand on this is we could say, hey, if somebody comes here to solicit and wants to solicit our town, you get a Lebanon Township ID card that we have given to you that has expiration dates,
temporary,
whatever the case may be, that is issued by us possibly to say, here's our, that... I think it might be a good...
Well, they do have permits with their pictures on it.
Yeah, but we provide them with an identification card that Lebanon, that they've, that we can tell the people publicly that they should be able to show you your the Lebanon Township-issued card.
And just even expanding on that, for park events or rec events, we've talked in the past whether we get T-shirts or something so that you know who it is. We could even have for select people... In township events for volunteers to get an identification card just to...
Because the only reason... I also bring some other printers that are in the same technology. They like to be used. You let them sit for 2 months, you're going to spend a couple hundred dollars replacing all the inks because they just like to be used. Mm-hmm. So finding ways to use it, you know, I have a couple of them. Like if I don't use them every other day, it's problems. Mm. This isn't so bad. This technology isn't so bad, but it's one of those things, like if it's at 2 months, the person using it's going to be, oh, I got to do this, I got to do it. There's a maintenance procedure along with it. So
as an expert, do you think this is a...
It's a good machine.
Good machine.
It's a good machine, but
the use that we're talking about?
Right, but I think we could...
We should use it more, you're saying.
And finding ways that we would, you know... If we're going to have it, finding ways to utilize it,
yep.
You know, so it's not, not becoming,
well,
you know, a year from now we haven't used it and we go to try to use it and it's a problem.
I'm sure there are ways that we can have on there, this ID expires on a certain date for those functions, in which case then it's even more useful.
Right.
Any other discussion, or is there a motion to approve the requested purchase of the Fargo DTC 1250 printer and accessories for up to $1,600?
I'll make the motion to approve the purchase of the identification card printer system.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. That takes us to presentation of the vouchers. Unless anyone has any other new business they would like to bring up.
I have none.
None for me.
Okay. Then the vouchers. Oh, you have no vouchers?
Oh,
sorry.
Misinterpreted.
No business.
Yeah, I thought it was open.
We have to keep them separate, the second packet that came in. I kind of...
Only for convenience of Joanne, not for the voucher
all right.
List, because they got the same.
And I'll just, yeah, all right.
I'll just got a bigger stack.
Okay, so first one is from H.J. Updike Lumber. This is for the new doors, $21,611.
And if I could just comment, so when we pass the bill, that... the check that would be issued is to be held until the doors are delivered. It's a quasi-COD situation.
The next one is for two Motorola radios for the Class 3 officers that are in the Lebanon Township, Woodglen, and Valley View schools for $1,684. And then we have for emergency systems for miscellaneous generator items, $1,316.01. That's all of them.
I've got the New Jersey Health Benefit Plan, February premiums total $32,995.75. County of Hunterdon, fourth quarter Board of Health payment, $2,400. Finch Fuel Oil, various buildings, $2,391.60. Another for Finch Fuel, a municipal building and garage fuel oil, $2,452.92. Statewide insurance fund, the workers' compensation, first installment of four for 2019, $19,267. And the umbrella insurance policy, first installment of four of $30,834.75. Then cooperative communications, our phone bill, and we've sent in the contract for the new phone system that is coming very soon. This invoice is $1,045.37. Finch Oil, again, for the squad building and fire station 2, $1,662.81. Finch Fuel Oil for the municipal building, DPW building, library, $2,137.61. JCP&L master account, $1,148.95 for the month of February. The tax refund that we approved earlier tonight to Lauren McCallum Young, $1,518.52. And a return of a construction escrow to George and Elizabeth Wenger, $6,802.50.
Okay, I've got one for Morton Salt for $6,996.59. I've got one for C&M Auto Parts for $1,245.84. I've got one for Griffith Allied Oil. I guess they changed the name. $1,366.10. I've got one for the Lebanon Township Board of Education for the March 2019 school tax, $1,687.420. I've got one for the Little Brook Lane Property Association for salting and plowing for $1,800. Got one, another one for Morton Salt for $5,521.38. Another one for Morton Salt for $11,448.52. One for North Hunterdon Regional, Voorhees Regional High School, March 2019 school tax, $963,947.83. One for Griffith Allied Trucking for $2,448 for diesel. One to Jesco for vehicle controller, $1,081.21. Another one for Morton Salt, $5,762.71. One for Opdyke Sales and Service, $1,322.82. One for Performance Tire for $3,146.94.
That's I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer, which is the general services for January 2019. Within the retainer, $2,084. I also have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer, which are complex matters outside the retainer, for $1,399.32. That's all I have.
So the combined voucher list for this meeting, the motion before us would be for the voucher list of February 20th, 2019, the canceled meeting, in a total amount of $2,784,806.15, along with the developer's escrow of $975,000. As well as the March 6th voucher list of $61,408.94 and a developer's escrow of $130 for a total voucher list to be approved of $2,847,320.09 with the exclusion of the Opdyke check that would be held until the products are delivered. Is there a motion to approve that?
You're approving the payment.
We're approving
just
payment.
Holding it.
Yeah, just to hold yes. With the caveat to hold it until delivered. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'll make the motion as stated by the mayor.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you. Next is the tax collector's report for the month of January. Taxes collected for the year 2019 in the month of January, $1,025,591.24. Taxes collected for the 2018 year, $40,081.28. Interest collected of $3,283.17. Tax search $10. Trailer court fees $2,220 for total receipts of $1,071,185.69. Then we have the minutes of the Recreation Commission from their January 3rd, 2019 meeting. If anyone has any comments about that.
Good.
Then we have the minutes of the Lebanon Township Environmental Open Space Commission meeting of January 7th, 2019. Is there any comments? None. Next is public comment. If there's a motion to open to public comment.
Make a motion to open to public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
This time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment, come up.
Charlie Ford Becker, 100 Schleicher Road. I just want to thank Bev and Warren for our new streetlight up on Schleicher Road. It makes a world of difference up there. It's lit now. People can see that corner. You know, hopefully we'll get some signs maybe in the future. Whoever is going to take care of that, it would be nice to have, you know, the signage again like we used to have. But what a difference having that lane.
Police chief approved that with Warren. It's been
signed up there.
Yeah, that's what Warren said.
New signs?
Yeah, one on each end.
Oh, okay. I haven't noticed. Good.
Yeah.
But what a difference having that light up there. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, you can see, you know, and it's just a bad intersection with a St. Nicholas Village coming into that road. It's just it's a hectic intersection. But thank you for getting it done. I appreciate it.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention, too, because you have to be our eyes. We can't be everywhere, which is good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other public comment, is there a motion to close public comment?
Make a motion to close public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. We will now go into executive session, and this would be resolution 32.
Yes.
32, 2019. There's several items. One is to discuss the executive session minutes of February 6, 2019. Next would be to discuss the potential shared service with Tewksbury. Next would be an update on our contract negotiations with the CWA. We also have a discussion of personal policy matter, another personal policy matter relating to the zoning and assessor hours, and a personal policy matter related to the potential hiring of a library assistant. There is potential action on one or two of these items. Is there a motion to go into resolution 32, 2019, to go into executive session?
I'll make a motion to go into resolution 32, 2019, to go into executive session.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much.